Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, brave new world that has such people in it.
Have you ever really thought about the idea that Demolition Man, the Sylvester Stallone movie, was based on Brave New World? Like, that's weird to me. I can see Gattaca being based on it. I can see Equilibrium being based on it. But Demolition Man, it just doesn't make sense. That's like someone read Brave New World 25 years ago and then just drank every day for the next 25 years and then was asked to write a screenplay based on Brave New World without rereading it. So here we are, episode 2, Falling Forward with Dan Lesac. That's me, I'm Dan Lesac. Last week we had Mike Bithell on, talking games and all that shiz, and you know what? I'm blown away. I'm genuinely surprised at how many of you clicked buttons on my behalf, you know, when I did tweets and all that stuff. So genuine thanks for that. I don't know how to sound genuine when I say thank you. As soon as I'm aware I'm being recorded or other people can hear me, all sincerity goes out the window. But genuinely, thank you. Mind blown. So who have we got this week, Dan? Thank you for asking, Dan. Well, this week we've got Neve Houston, or otherwise known as Chipsel, a music producer who makes most of her music on a Game Boy. Yeah, we went lo-fi. Is that alright? You good with that? It was a really good chat. We met up in that London. She was staying at a friend's, but the reason why it's a little bit of an echoey recording is we were going to do it in the flat and last minute things changed and we ended up having to do it basically in the foyer of a block of flats. So lots of slapback and stuff, but I've done my best to clean it up nice and stuff. It's still a very good listen. I'm not doing it down in any way. But yeah, just the more of a heads up than anything else. But yeah, Chipsel's awesome. She was actually the first one I recorded, although you got Mike as episode 1, it was the reverb that made me think, let's just make sure the first thing people hear is the best I can do, rather than one that has a bit of like noise to it. Now some plug-in, if you're here to listen to Chipsel, just skip ahead like 2 minutes, or just wait, either, one of the two, no need to be impatient. But I'm not going to be offended if you skip. Why is saying skip a bit, Dan, like a 3.5 minute conversation? Stop it. So, some plugs. Patreon.com/Dan Lesac. Thank you everyone on there. Genuinely appreciate it. You paid for the recorder. You paid for the travel for all of this podcast. So, you know, it's your fault this exists. Anyone coming over from twitch.tv/Dan Lesac, hello to you. You've probably seen me like 5 nights already this week. But hello, I'm in your head, but you can't see me for once.
That's it. That's all I need to plug.
Oh, music. The music on the podcast is all by me, and it's on danielsack.bandcamp.com. It's free downloads, or you can pay if you want. But yeah, I'm using that because obviously I can't use other people's music because of copyright and stuff. Is that all the plugs? Is that all I need to plug? I don't know. I don't like doing it. I'm not very good at doing it. But, you know, this is the world we live in. Enough of that. You can hear more from me at the end. Let's get started with the podcast, shall we? Introducing me and Chipsil in a very echoey room talking all things Chip Chip.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Nah.
Nah.
Just fall asleep watching the Solo movie.
Yes.
I've still not managed to watch it. I've tried three times, but every time it's just like...
The Solo movie?
Yeah. There was this show years ago called Star Wars. I don't know if you've...
Rings a bell.
Heard of that, yeah. And Hannibal Solo, I think his name was.
Hannibal.
Hannibal Solo, that's it. And they used... We're recording, by the way. This is all gold.
Yeah,
this
brilliant.
Is going in. We're just right. Going to come in. I'm just going to fade in halfway through the conversation. Hannibal Solo in Star Trek.
Hans Zimmer.
Well, I know he was Babylon 5, wasn't he? Right, so we're here in a echoey.
Very echoey.
How many of those echoes were the echo, though?
That's
confusing.
Do you know your reverberation calculations? Because I don't. Lots.
Hang on. What's that? It's like 40 milliseconds, is it?
Sure.
Look at that. I don't know. We just made that up.
We're audio people.
So who are you?
I'm Neve Histon, also known as Chipsil.
Have you ever Googled how to pronounce your own name?
Yes, but I mean, like, for other people's benefit, not my own.
So if you do it, you get, obviously you get proper Irish people saying it, which is helpful.
Yes.
Or you get people who've just typed it into text to speech.
Yes.
So instead of Neve, it's Nimwa.
Yeah.
Like, hey, hi, Nimwa.
Nimwa.
And like, weirdly unrelated to you, spent like an hour one day text-to-speeching Irish people's names.
Like, hey, I'm a ha.
Aoife is the one who's like, Aoife. Like, what?
That's what everybody calls her.
Yeah, Aoife.
Hey, Aoife.
It was like that throat singing.
Yes.
That the monks do.
There's actually a viral video that went around where this guy is like, I think he's on live Snapchat or some live Instagram or something, and then people are giving him like names to pronounce, and he gets Neve, and he's like, it's Nayama, ha! Nayama, ha! And he's like, it's Swahili, idiot.
So, if you're listening to this right now, Neve, Chipsil, you make electronic music.
Yes.
for video games and for yourself as a solo artist, not just for hiding in your house and listening.
Although I do that too.
We all do. We all do.
You don't want to see my my project files incomplete.
Oh my God. I occasionally do creation stuff. Creation stuff?
Creative?
I just,
things?
Yeah, no, I create
content.
Human. I create species and stuff on Twitch. No, but I do it on Twitch, and it's like opening the door to people watching. Mm-hmm. And every time I do it, I just, the first hour is me going through project folders, listening to those 4-bar loops and going, I'm never going to finish this. I'm never going to take this anywhere.
But it's say it takes up like, what, 50 gig or something in your computer, and you're like, yeah, okay, I'll get around to fixing that someday.
And I've been doing it 20 years, I say, on a computer, like 20 years. So I've still got stuff from then as well. And it's just like, why do I keep this?
They're memories.
Are they little snapshots in time of when...
That's what, that, to be honest, that's one thing I really like about, like, so we should mention this. I know we were probably going to get to it. With my music, I kind of started with the Game Boy. And then, so all the music is stored in those little carts. And then whenever you put it in, it's just like going through, it's like a trip through
time still
sort
there.
Of thing. Yeah.
So for a layman, how would you explain what's going on when creating music on a Game Boy?
Okay, so I've been making music for like 10 years, and the Game Boy was my first choice of like musical arrangement and composition and whatever. So I was equally as confused by it whenever I started out. And there wasn't like a whole lot of information about it on the internet.
Yeah.
But, it's so you get this, you get your Game Boy, obviously, and then you can get this blank cart. There's all different kinds. Some are plug and play and stuff.
Yeah.
Where you can plug them into the computer. You download the ROM for LSDJ, which is a common choice of software, and then you put it onto the cart. Take the cart off the USB, put it into the Game Boy, boom.
You actually can write your own cartridges. I don't know why that's the bit I'm interested in. That was the wrong thing.
Music, Pokemon, what?
So,
you could put,
So the cart itself is the software, but it's using the chip within the Game Boy to create?
Yeah, so once you put the cart into the Game Boy, turn it on, ba-ding. As we all know.
So you're basically opening access to the...
Yeah, so you...
The synthesizer within the Game Boy.
Yeah, you're greeted then with this tracker format, which is like an old format for music sequencing.
Well, people like Aphex Twin still use trackers.
Yes.
So for you listening in, a tracker is a less visual, more numerical way of sequencing notes, basically. So if you've ever used Cakewalk or... one of those older sequences, that's how they do it. Before Cubase, Steinberg made them.
Yeah, and all that kind of came from like the tracker format as far as I'm aware, because the tracker was like the original kind of like way to like sequence music. And one of the first ones to come in. You have LSDJ, and then so you have this like the arrangement page, if you will, but everything works vertically, is that the right? Yeah, vertically rather
yeah, it's
than
up
horizontally.
Down.
Yeah. And then so you have an empty space, you double tap A, that'll create a numerical value which represents a chain, which could be seen as like a musical bar. And then within a chain, you have a phrase, and that's basically just where you input your notes.
And you're like just your upping and downing numbers to change notes and
bending
pitch.
Yeah. But then so the way that it would work is that you then have like these commands that you can use to add like effects or whatever. So you would have, should we?
No, that's fine. We're in a noisy lobby. I don't know if I said it at the start, but it's fine. We can cope. You can cope at home.
It's part of the vibe.
This is lo-fi. We're DIY.
It's true.
Come on.
It's true. We're
rapscallions.
Music and Game Boys. It's fine.
Yeah.
You have these. Letters represent like different effects. So you'd have P represents pitch, So yeah, if you're in the phrase screen and you like put in the note C5 or something, you then get to choose, okay, well, I want this to be this instrument, and you can go in and change the envelope, change like different parameters, and then down the very right-hand column, you have like another place to input like effects. So if you put a P and you put like a certain value, it can go like pew.
Okay.
So that's kind of the basics.
Yeah, yeah.
And then from there you have four channels.
C5 is what, two above middle C?
Yes.
Look at that. I used a musical phrase there, middle C.
You know your stuff.
Which I assume is the middle C on a piano, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. No.
Is middle C like a middle child? Does it is it feeling
like
a bit left out? See, I'm the youngest, so I was spoiled.
You're the baby.
Yeah.
I was the baby C.
How do you, obviously using a Game Boy as your starting point, and you're still doing that now, you're using a bit of modular and shenanigans at this point, but...
Grown-up Game Boys.
But do you find those, it applies to modular as well, but do you find the limitations benefit your creativity?
Yes, big time. So I did like just Game Boy stuff for about 4 or 5 years or something like that. And then...
And you performed with multiple Game Boys. And DJ mixer, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's sort of the way... So you would have... you can have two or more Game Boys for a set. You can link two Game Boys together so that they're synchronized.
So
you can have like one
time.
Full song or whatever. So, you know, there are some chiptune artists that play with four Game Boys so that each song has like two Game Boys to have counterparts. So, what did you ask me? I forgot.
So, does the limitations of the Game Boy help your creativity?
Sorry, yeah. Yes, big time. Once I started, when I switched over to making music in a DAW, it was the thought of...
A DAW's on a computer, just in case you don't know. On a computer.
A digital audio workstation.
Like with a mouse.
Like Logic or whatever. Yeah, with Logic I started with. And just the thought of infinite possibilities and the fact that you can always make something better kind of
super
ruins me.
Yeah,
I can't. Yeah, hence why I have the huge project folder of incomplete project files. I always find LSDJ to be a lot more kind of like in the moment. Mm-hmm. And there's a really good sort of relationship with how quickly you can either make a mistake or come up with an idea or whatever, and then how quickly you can just like copy that and go, I like that bit, and I want to like just adjust that slightly. And the ideas sort of come from what you've just like printed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that does make sense.
And I find that that's a really kind of holistic kind of way to create, because you're kind of just... You have no structure, you have no rule set, you're just kind of going with whatever's like coming into your head. And I find that I have never had that relationship with the computer and with a DAW. I feel it's always kind of like a struggle to go, okay, I have this great 4, 8-bar, 16, whatever loop, what do I do now? Because you spend so much time sitting kind of like fine-tuning this stuff.
It's definitely a problem with the... you're adding layers in the way of creativity sometimes with a DAW, because if you're sitting in the front of a piano and you can actually play a piano, that's probably important.
But check them.
The only limitation is your fingers.
Yes.
You know? So it goes from your brain to your hands out the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a DAW, there's always that little clicky, clicky moment.
Oh, God.
The sort of little breakdown in that. So your flow can always get interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
But that is still outweighed by the fact that if you can imagine a sound, you can actually make that sound.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, 30 years ago, if you could imagine a sound, you had to spend thousands on high-end sampling or whatever to be able to get that sound if you could...
Yes.
Find that sound in the world to sample, sort of thing, which is insanity.
It is. It's crazy. But the one of the things I like most about the limitations of the Game Boy is like, so where I was saying that you have like these places where you can input numbers that represent sequences. You've got four of those, so you've essentially got four tracks to work with. Two of those are only pulse waves, so square waves, mm-hmm. 25, 50, 75, whatever. And then you have one of the tracks is wave table synthesis. So, mm-hmm. And you also can do sample playback in that. And then the other track is noise, so you can't put your melodies or anything in there.
So a percussive track,
basically,
such.
Yeah. So you have to fit like all the information into essentially three tracks.
Yeah.
And that's where things get interesting because, like, say for example, I come up with like a little lead or whatever in the pulse one track or something. I'm like, okay, so there's that, and here I'll do over in the wave channel, I'll do like my kick and bass, and then I'll shape some noise or whatever. Pulse two might be like the rhythmic section, but then you're basically, you have, the way I work it at least is that any empty space, I try to fill that with like other little nuances.
Yeah.
Which is where things get really interesting, because to do something like that in Logic or Ableton or whatever, DAW, you have to like sit with automation and go, oh, I want this note to be slightly more sustained, and it just kills me. I much prefer the quick, snappy.
Just dialing in numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a funny thing, because that's why so many musicians at this point are moving to things like modular, because you've just got, it's in front of me. If I want it to sound more like this, I turn X.
Yes. That knob. Like immediate response.
Yeah.
As opposed to drawing at automation and fidgeting with stuff with your mouse. Like that just, I can't think of anything that frustrates me more.
But I suppose for structuring songs and things, just recording what you've created in the Game Boy and then being able to edit and pull that apart.
Yeah,
because
then you're basically just working with all your sampled material, and then it becomes a lot easier because you're like, I've printed the basis of the song, and now I'm just polishing it.
Or layering,
and layering
forever. So,
excuse me.
You started with Game Boys. Is that because you come from Northern Ireland?
Yes.
Strabane?
Yes.
Yeah, nice. See, research, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't it? I did some
check
research.
That Wikipedia page.
But small town.
Yes, tiny town.
Do you feel like that was an influence? Like,
yeah, I guess.
Tiny towns with less to do. We both. I come from a place called Corringham, which may be twice the size of Strabane, but still a small place. Not a vast amount to do. So
no, yeah.
Sitting in my bedroom with the second-hand Atari ST I'd saved up for.
Yes.
You know, clicking. Making noises, always felt.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how the internet completely changed all these like rural like kids or whatever. Because I mean, that's basically what a lot of chiptune music is all these kids that were like brought onto the internet, and then they're like, oh my god, there's like a world outside this town. This is insane.
Oh, and it's insane. The chiptune community, stick together. It's one of those things, as soon as you see someone doing something that you know you can do because you've got the you've got the same Game Boy or whatever you're using, because you can do variations of this on Ataris and Commodore 64s. A lot of early jungle was Commodore Amigas, using those for the like 8-bit sampling. You had so little space to use.
But... yeah, Membrek, yo.
But like... as soon as you kind of hear that, you're going to gravitate towards those people, because being able to find someone doing the same but different is always fascinating.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, so like, tiny town, small community, like everybody knows each other. I was always kind of like, I'm going to get out of here one day, you know, that old sort of thing. I kind of, you know, I appreciate it in so many other ways now, but... yeah, I was always like different, she said with quotations, and kind of like wanted to stand out and put myself like apart from like everybody else. And then obviously whenever I discovered chiptune, I was like, this is me.
Yeah.
This has been me the whole time, and I only just found out.
I suppose like, because obviously Northern Ireland, Republic of Ireland, both have big community music roots. In my experience, there's always...
yeah.
A bar that's got a folk band, or
for
just locals playing together in a disorganized fact. Not disorganized, you know what I mean.
Yeah, like in a jam just, sense.
A jam sense.
Yeah, that's
so,
a kinder way to put it.
Well, it's not something I ever kind of experienced until I was older,
yeah.
Until I went to Ireland. It wasn't something that happened at my local, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. My local was men playing darts, and no, that was it. It was just men playing darts. There was very
inspiring.
Little music there. And until Christmas, and the darts team booked Chaz and Dave to play play New Year's when I was like nine.
Nice.
Weirdly, me and Pip then got to play a gig with Chaz and Dave.
Wow.
At Glastonbury in this weird backstage BBC bar.
Mm.
It was weird because like you got Chaz and Dave have just sound checked. Mm-hmm. Me and Pip are now sound checking, and Alan Yentob is just asleep. On a thing, and you're like, just keep it down. I don't want to wake up Alan Yentob. I'm not even sure what Alan Yentob did, but I remember his name being important.
He's important. Let the man sleep.
So, but that small town, I suppose, with less distraction.
Yeah. That's definitely a part of it. And even, you know, small town aside, like we were outside of the small town in like the countryside.
Mm.
So.
Oh God, you were like.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, with dial-up speed for years after broadband came into play.
But that, to go from there to then playing Japan.
Yeah.
You've played Japan, haven't you?
Yes.
So how does? I suppose the question, do like your folks, do your family get it? Like,
not really.
This
they
is a
do,
guitar, Dad.
But they
just
don't.
Think if this
yeah,
is a guitar.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, just coming back to what you were saying earlier, it's like, Ireland is very much still appreciating like folksy and bands and things like that, and obviously like electronic as well. But it's sort of like there's a you know, everybody can appreciate a guy that can sing with a guitar sort of thing. So then when you have someone that is like, yeah, I make music on a Game Boy, they're like, what the f-
yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about? I don't know. Whenever I picked up LSDJ, I was just like ridiculously enthusiastic about it. And then within like a couple of months, I had my first show in Derry in the Nerve Centre, who I actually owe a lot to, because there was the under-18s nights where mm-hmm. they would always have like these local bands or acts or whatever come on and play. So I got to play a bunch of those, which gave like, you know, kind of footage of like a crowd of like 500 or whatever, which was like blowing the mind of like the chiptune community. They were like, what the hell? How has she got this crowd?
But Derry is a beautiful city. Obviously, it's walled city. It's gorgeous. Obviously, but it still has a really strong idea of community.
Yes.
And it, with music, it's communities within communities. Mm-hmm. So, like, you tend to find in those sort of cities, is Derry counted as a city? I don't know. It's city.
It is a city, yeah.
It's city adjacent, at least.
It's, what is it? They have a bishop? They have a parish? They have a bishop? Oh, I know. There's something to this. So it's like, if you have a bishop, then it's a city
or something
like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a city. Yes.
But, like, people are going to gravitate, are going to go to the events in those places. When there is a strong music community, you're still getting your indie boys mm-hmm. with floppy haircuts coming to the chiptune night. You know?
Yes, exactly. There was people who, you know, were primarily like metal fans or whatever that would go just because like it was something different and whatever, and there's a bigger appreciation for that then, obviously.
It's a weird thing with metal fans though, because electronic music and metal goes together so well.
Yeah.
Like, show me a metal fan who doesn't like, say, The Prodigy.
Yeah, that's true.
There's not a metal fan that doesn't actually like The Prodigy. Yeah. Like, there's that overlap, because it's not just the sound, it's the attitude.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, that's sort of punk aesthetic.
Yeah, you can make something like
which I think chiptune has too. If we make the happy bleep bloops, I think it's punk as hell.
Well, I suppose the idea of punk is to not conform.
Yeah,
to
non-conformity.
Not just do the same as everyone else.
That's true.
This is why the Human League always go on about being the most punk band because they could only play three notes on
the
synth.
If you have to tell people you're the most punk band.
True.
Are you?
True. I am the most punk.
I am the most punk chip chip.
We were the punkiest. We would never sell butter.
Such a shame, isn't it? But you love it at the same time. Yeah,
it's sort of right, but he's very Brexit-y. We're not gonna
let's not go there.
Let's not. Yeah. Yeah, no, let's not.
Now talking chiptune and Brexit.
And Brexit. It's a difficult one. I got told for my entire life growing up how bad Europe were. And it was like,
Did you?
My dad's not right wing, but he was very anti the whole European deal. But I can get why when he got the chance to vote, he would just vote leave.
Yeah.
Because
years of whatever you'd already years. Thought. Yeah.
It was almost before the referendum that got us into Europe, he was told it was bad. Yeah. And it was just, this is bad, this is bad. For 40 years, so of course.
You're not going to change your chin,
Yeah. Having experienced touring in Europe and spending time, it's like, this is all right, guys.
Yeah. I had lived in England for years, and every time I got to travel outside of England in and around Europe, I was just like, things are way cooler here.
But it's that thing as well, we imagine. As English people, we imagine Europe as something different to us. But go to Germany, and they're watching Benny Hill, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how more British can you get than Benny Hill? Mm-hmm. And it's that weird thing of, it's just the language barrier. Germans are very, very similar to us. Sense of humour, particularly. When we used to do gigs in Germany, I could do dick and fart jokes all day.
Yeah.
And they were fine. They would like it. So it's just that weird thing of we've built barriers when just people like us, they're just trying to get on. It's just they care more about arts funding.
Yes, that's true.
The amount of venues you end up in Europe that are like, how do you afford this space? Oh no, the government just give us the money.
Yeah.
What?
The government gave you money.
So we've covered a little. Let's yank it back to soundtracks.
Yes.
I've written down a few here.
Mm-hmm.
Spectra.
Yes.
Super Hexagon. Mm-hmm. Or Hexagon, obviously, the Game Jam original.
Yeah.
Interstellaria. Stellaria.
Interstellar, but with IA at the end. Interstellaria.
The Chipped of the Necrodancer, which is a remix version of Crypt of the Necrodancer.
And they allowed me to call it Chipped of the Necrodancer. They did. I was like, thank you very much, because it's brilliant.
Octahedron. Yeah. And you're working on Dicey Dungeons at the moment, which is announced and stuff, so you can talk about
it. Yeah, it's in early access as well.
How do you even get started with somebody else's work? This is somebody else's baby, and they're asking you to teach that baby about music, in a sense. That's your responsibility.
It is, yes.
How do you begin, and how do you get past the idea that it's somebody else's work? I'll be quiet.
No, it's fine. It's something that you kind of have to ask yourself as well every now and then, make sure that, so it's, they're going to come to you and assume that you have the know-how and whatever for the game, which you usually do, but every developer is going to be a little bit different. Some people might have been working on the game for years and then they have really specific needs of what they want, or they have a vision already, and then you kind of have to just try and put your story in there somewhere in some shape or form. You have to try and relate to the project in some way. Which I remember someone actually asked me that, was like, do you get affected by your projects? Which was interesting because I was like, no, no, it's fine. I just get on with it. Whatever. Whenever I look back on it, I'm like, yeah, no, I definitely do. Like for Interstellar, for example, you know, you're in space. You have like this team. There's the possibility of death at like any corner,
management,
or whatever.
A space management.
Yeah. Resource management. Yeah. A little bit of exploration or whatever, and very akin to. I think it was Star Control. Was that the game for like the yeah. So I think he was really inspired by that. But I usually try and, once I get the concept art and I get the theme of the game or whatever, I try and like narrow it down to like one word or one phrase or one sentence or whatever. And so for Interstellaria, it was like beautiful isolation or like, you know, exploration, isolation or whatever. And when I look back on that, yeah, I isolated myself from the entire world to get that soundtrack. Finished. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because I think the healthiest way to look at it is that you have to put your story in there somewhere, because if there's going to be some sort of unique flair or something personal about the music and the soundtrack, then it has to come from you. So you have to find yourself in the story somehow, if that makes sense. Not for everything, obviously. Sometimes it's just like, write us some beats and you're like, I can do that.
Well, like Spectra came about, we can edit out all the coughs and farts. We probably do some farts in a
bit. Just keep them in, it's fine.
Yeah, the farts will stay, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Spectra came from your music first. They built a game around what you'd done.
Which got me a world record, which was cool.
Did it? A world record?
Yeah. It was in the gaming Guinness Book of World Records.
Okay, in what sense?
Cool. It's apparently the first, it might have been specifically chiptune album to be made, to be the basis of a video game.
Weird. That's actually pretty rad to be in a book.
It's in there, yeah.
Like printed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
I'm
forever.
In two books this year.
Well, that's there forever.
I'm in books.
Although we might be doing book burnings after Brexit.
No, we're not.
I've sort of heard.
No, because I will be there being like, this is me, I am history.
You're don't just keeping those two books. No, burn everything else. Dostoevsky gets a fuck.
Make
I'm
more
in
copies
this book.
Of these. Print out my own Wikipedia page.
Not
put
sure
it in the library.
Why I went to Dostoevsky. I don't know why that was the first name in my head. Stephen King, surely. He's had a bigger effect.
Yeah.
But how do you how do I phrase this? So you have an idea of what you've created for somebody else's game. How do you find it when your opinion or your feel for something differs from what they feel? Like, example, I wrote something for Mike Biffle, Bit Hell, Biffykins, whatever.
And Biffy Clyro.
Yeah, I gave him a bunch of music and he picked out what he wanted me to work on from there. And one of the ones he picked for an emotional scene, to me, was a completely different emotion. And it was confusing, but also enlightening to see somebody's different perspective on something I'd written.
Yeah. Personally, I find it very frustrating because I'm okay to go ahead with it because, I mean, like, I'm freelance, and if I start being like, no, like, I'm not going to get a lot of work. But I would like to believe that when you hire an audio person, you're trusting their judgment on pretty much everything.
Yeah, so, that's my job. That's what you're asking me to do.
Exactly. And a bit of back and forth is fine, and a bit of, like, obviously you need direction to, like, actually, that's probably what a lot of it would come down to, would be maybe a little bit of miscommunication, because if you can get like solid direction from your client or whatever, then you shouldn't really stray too far from the line of what they're looking for. I think in your case, it's just because you gave options and then they just go, I'll take this one. I like it.
Yeah, I tend to like to do the throw a lot at them because it makes them feel like you've done more. Even though some of it,
I'll just
this one I wrote 10 years ago, chuck it in, chuck it in, they'll never notice.
It took me 5 minutes to do this. I'm very professional.
That used to infuriate me when you give them a couple of options and they go, oh, this one you threw in at the last minute and it was 3 minutes work. It's like, Why that one?
Yeah.
This one, I actually cried. I was crying making it.
I didn't eat for weeks. I haven't seen the sun.
You touched on it working and being a good worker, being someone flexible and stuff. How, it's a DIY community.
Yes.
And then you get to use other DIY communities. Like Bandcamp is the most DIY digital download service, you know. But how do you feel that the freedom relates to, say, the work in the sense of like self-marketing and self-pushing yourself out the door to meet a developer or a client?
It's absolutely exhausting and it ruins my life, but I wouldn't change it for the world. it's great, but it can get really stressful because it's so not many people, like there are, but not a lot of people are in the position that I'm in, where I'm selling myself as a performer and a like punk Egyptian artist at the same time trying to be like, oh, but I'm also really professional and I have this side of me that is very beautiful and serious and hire me for your serious film and game work or whatever. And then I'm like advertising this one thing, obviously with shows, and then I'm like, but I can also do like a whole bunch of other stuff.
Well, that's the thing, like, you do the sweaty dancing and the flashing lights, but then you do...
That doesn't sound interesting.
But then you do, like, conferences and TEDx talks and all that, like...
I'm a troubled soul. I think that's what I advertise to people.
Troubled or wise, one of the two. It might be wiseness.
Wise.
You know?
Wait until I turn 30 and then I'll be wise.
Are you not 30 yet? This is just rude.
Is it?
I'm going to turn 40 soon.
Are you?
I am. Me and Pip didn't start working together till late. Like, he quit his job and started just busking.
Nice.
But like with a CD player and a little speaker, and he would just rap at like cues to gigs. Like, instead of like just doing it on the street, you would, well, these guys like hip hop. I'm just going to shout at them for an hour. And then
you made a career out of it.
Yeah, and I booked him for a gig and all that. But I was like 27, I think, when our first single came out. Mm-hmm. So we were all so responsible. Yeah. I always had a spreadsheet on me. When we were touring, you know, I'd do the accounts.
No, see, this is what I mean about the stressful side of it. Because as well as being split into these like two people that I'm trying to advertise, I'm also like responsible for everything to do with me. So that's like finances. I'm the cleaner. I'm the accountant.
I sacked my cleaner the other day.
I would sack my cleaner because she's useless.
I'm no longer paying myself to clean. It's just, you know, it's gone past.
Hey. How are you?
Hello.
Good. Doing a podcast right now.
Are you doing a recording?
Yes. We are. You're now on it.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to say your own name.
My name's Azur.
Azur.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you too. Cool. He's just been shopping. Everyone listening. He's just been out in the world. There's chips in there. What else did you buy?
Hippies.
What are hippies?
Chickpeas.
Oh, wow.
Chickpea puffs.
Nice.
This is the future.
It is the future. Especially
for
vegan.
Yeah, definitely. Good to see
you. Have a lovely one.
Bye.
That's staying in.
That's a
moment. Yep. That might be the, you know how podcasters do the little video that's just audio? And it's the clip. Yep. That's going to be the clip. Oh, chickpea puffs.
Oh, no way.
Just that. That's, here's chips or nothing about punks. Or...
See if you can get sponsored by chickpea puffs. Oh, chickpea puffs, very nice.
So I was like thinking about that, like the whole sponsors thing and advertising thing. And like there's the high horse, highbrow Dan who goes, no, I'm not gonna push for advertising and stuff. I'll give people a Patreon link and let them, if they want to, do it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, I'm a coward.
Yeah.
I just, the whole like marketing myself thing.
Yes.
I really only started a podcast so I can find out how other people get work, so I might get some work.
Yeah, yeah.
Steal their ideas. But that whole...
Nice. At least you're honest.
But as a musician, we are taught by all the former musicians not to talk about money, not to ask your audience to buy your
record. But I think it's very important to talk money. And I think it's very important to, like, be open about, like, you know, especially, like, inside the community of people who are, like, hiring, being, like, hired work. So that, because so many people sell themselves short and they don't know the value of their own work. And then that in turn ruins it for the rest of us. Because if someone goes to someone and, like, they, not ruins it for the rest of us and, like, oh, I want to be a millionaire. Not like that. It's this is how much money you actually need to, like, live, pay the bills, and work on a project for, like, over 2 years. Don't do it for chips because, you know.
Then everyone else has to.
No, but not even that. It's, like, first of all, value your own stuff and, like, believe that you, you know, have something to offer for your own sake. And then also just, like, it confuses the communication between, like, we were mentioning about this earlier. Apparently, one of the top questions on audio panels every time is, why should I hire you? Like, tell me why sound is important for my game. You're like, what? So it's one of your senses. Have you ever watched a movie with no sound? Did it have the same impact? Did it have the same feeling? No.
When music is good, it doesn't have to get in the way. It doesn't have to be that. Sometimes a successful piece of music in a game or a movie is an extra, is a supporting character in that role, shifting the emotion without obviously telling everyone you're shifting that emotion. It's a very strange industry because there is still magic to it. There's still things that people can't tangibly, not everyone can, even if you watch every YouTube video tutorial on how to make chiptune or whatever, there's still some little nuance that comes through the personality of the creator.
Yes, and that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, where you kind of have to, like, slide yourself in there somehow.
Yeah,
and sort of give something character, even if it's under someone's vision.
I suppose, with chiptune in particular, we didn't actually talk about what chiptune was, really, but chiptune is basically using those SID chips and older gaming technology to make music. But because every chiptune artist has access to the same sound set, like, your personality, you do not sound the same as DJ Scott Jake from One Extreme to, like, Shirabon?
Yep.
I always want to call
him. All right. Who else you got? Chiptune artist beginning with A.
Adam. Yeah. You've not met Adam.
There is an Adam Gets Awesome.
See? Told ya. There's Adam in there.
You know your shit.
You got Dave. There's definitely Derris.
I think there is
Derris
a Derris
Carlin. He's done some stuff. See, Mike, this the thing actually is that my experience of chiptune is more people like DJ Scott Jake and through, like, nights at Electro Works in Islington, and then out in my Reading, we had a night called Crack that would bring DJ Scott Jake down, and then Ed Hardcore, and I think Ed Hardcore was the guy who wore a kilt and played an accordion, played like kind of breakcore with an accordion, wearing a kilt. But then
that's
chiptune. It's punk. It's all punk. Everything's punk. But then we have, like, Chris Clark.
Oh, wow, nice.
BVM and Barry's Bootlegs and just all the, you know.
The, like, weird electronic of that.
Yeah, time. But it's kind of, they're all akin to each other. They're all, because if you do something far enough off kilter, further away from the middle you move, the smaller your audience gets.
Yeah.
So people who make one extremely small niche piece of music are going to find other niche
things,
and then those overlaps happen. You know, like, it's one of those things that it used to be called IDM. Before EDM,
what I was gonna say.
It was IDM.
Do you know what, instead of, because, I mean, they branded it as an intelligent dance
intelligent.
Music. Do you know what it really should have been? internet dance music.
Internet dance music, very much so.
Because that would be the umbrella term for
easily
that
yeah.
whole but, experimental stuff.
But I always found that fascinating. That because of the smaller audience, it kind of meant for a more fertile scene. You yeah. couldn't avoid someone making hard style. Or
with Killed.
Yeah, with Killed. Yeah, then you'd get someone just going bleep, bloop, bleep, bloop.
Yeah, yeah.
Bleep. Ooh, I mean, that's good. That was a good melody. I'll have to keep that. Right. I'll have to keep that for myself.
Nice. I'm going to steal it.
But yeah, the fertile ground in electronic. So we've kind of mumbled around as usual. I'm not...
That's how conversations go.
Yeah, I've heard this, that yeah. conversations, you know.
You had many.
I had a couple once.
A couple once?
Yeah.
Two conversations in one go?
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. No, I've done all the different, I've had three-way conversations. I've had male-female conversations. Female-female-male. I've all the porg. Wait, no, that's
I'm proud of you. You're very open.
That's something else. I've been dominated in a conversation. Just talk that.
Conversations with animals.
I've been cuckled.
Very one-sided.
I have been a cuck in a conversation. Just two people talking and I can't get in. I just have to watch. I'm just watching the conversation happen.
Oh, God.
I really want to be part of this conversation, but I'm intimidated. You're more intelligent than me. So what's next for Chipsil?
Oh God, this is always the most terrifying question. So I'm wrapping up Dicey Dungeons at the moment.
Which is with Terry Cavana.
Terry Cavana, yeah.
Cavana.
Cavana. Cavana. Coco Cavana.
Yes, yeah. There's always a bit of calypso in me. I can't help it. But you made Super Hexagon together. Super Hexagon's probably like if someone at home wants.
Yeah.
A starting point with you is probably Super Hexagon.
Yes.
But there's definitely extremities in your work with Interstellaria being more ambient.
Big girl ambient. Music.
It's definitely more cinematic. It's definitely more...
But with SNES sound fonts and stuff thrown into it.
Actually, that was something I wanted to ask about.
Yeah.
So somebody makes a soundtrack for a movie, yeah? Mm-hmm. You've got, right... Hey, Chipsil. This is the love scene. Mm-hmm. She's gonna cry. Gonna cry, and then they're gonna kiss.
Yeah.
And this is gonna take space 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You've got 2 minutes to
make that.
That.
Make but the magic.
But that piece of music only has to be heard for 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. You need to make the battle music.
Yes.
And this is gonna loop. Hundreds of times, depending on how good that player is.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel that speaks to what you're writing?
It definitely puts more demand on your ability to, how would you put it? The music I started writing, like from the get-go, was very like in your face. It was like, I have emotions and feelings, listen.
With the digital nature of what you're making, there is a little harsher, brittler, just general sound to things anyway.
Yeah. And so you kind of have to really pull back and bring your ideas down to kind of like the most basic form where it's not so intrusive. So it's kind of like if you have like this idea, you have to try and like strip it back to like the bare minimum to just get like the point across. At least that's how I would usually do it.
Mm.
There's one thing I'm working on right now, which I really wish I could talk about, but I can't.
But you can't.
It's not going to be announced for like a couple of months, but it's very exciting. and it's that's kind of what I've learned with that is that it's like I'll come up with like one little idea, and then it's basically you want to create like just tension with that one idea. So you kind of if it's just one little simple melody, you're basically dragging it out for like. 16, 32, whatever, bars. And one thing I like to do, which is kind of like comes from my love for like trance music, is kind of like always be kind of hinting at like that thing throughout, and then there's just that one little part in it where you have that release, and then so the rest of it is all tension, and then you come back and it's the that one little bit is what the player wants to hear.
Yeah,
but they have to listen to the rest of it before they get that little bit, that bit.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It does. It does. We in Quarantine Circular, which is a soundtrack I did for basically a text adventure.
Nice.
But there was a really tense strings, like buildy thing, and I wrote it as a 4-minute piece, and it built to crescendo, stopped. But then we had to basically give the player control of the building tension. If they were a slow reader, that tension, like
really slow tension.
yeah. So bits came in just related one to, but different layers came in as they progressed through the conversation as such. So it was really odd to, I've watched people play the game on Twitch, and it's like, my God, this guy is reading so slowly.
Yeah.
This piece of, this one string sound that we've got right now, come just move on. It's so odd to, with gaming, to some of that control to be handed over, not just to the developer, but to the player.
Yeah.
Trust the player.
I mean, that's the worst thing about audio, is that you'll sit and critique all your work and be like, oh my God, this, and it needs to be, and but very little other people notice.
Yeah.
And that's kind of audio in a nutshell, is if you do a really good job, if you do a really good job with the music, they will feel something. If you do a really good job with like all the sound designing parts and like the sound effects and things like that, nobody notices.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll know if it's bad, but they won't know if it's good. You know?
No, definitely. Like that it is, I suppose, true of most things. Bad writing jumps out far more obviously than adequate. You know.
Another fun thing about doing music for games, especially mobile games, is that you do all this work, and then you know for a fact that there are people that are just going to go mute.
Oh God, I feel bad.
Mute music.
So I do a lot of my listening while playing. So I just feel bad every time. I know I'm playing a video game, someone spent time on this, but generally I'll give most games a listen through as I play, and then the next time.
And then turn the music up.
Mute.
Spotify.
Especially like with indie kind of roguelikes and games that stand repeating play.
Well, this is, I mean, all of this comes around as well to the importance of your audio engine and audio implementation and creating an interactive space for all the musical pieces to have a place without it being intrusive. Chiptune doesn't generally fall into this realm. Like, you're not going to be like, walk over to the mountain and suddenly chiptune beats. But for that more, you know, for the more cinematic and whatever you want to call, like, music that's not chiptune.
Just other.
Other.
Just rubbish. Let's just call it rubbish. It's fine.
I don't know, like atmospheric or whatever. You can sort of, depending on how the player plays, then you can introduce new things, and then I would say people are less likely to like turn music off or whatever for that. So
yeah.
Implementation is a big deal. Something I kind of need to learn about, to be honest. which is proving to be obvious over time.
I feel like we've covered everything.
Brexit, chiptune.
Yeah, we did
games.
We glazed Brexit, but I feel like that's what they're doing anyway. They've been just glazing over it. I think they're currently Brexit. Treating Brexit like homework.
Oh God.
It's like, I'll do it tomorrow night. I'll do it tomorrow night.
No, I don't want
it's got to be in on Friday.
Yeah.
I'll be fine. I'll stay up.
Yeah.
Brexit's
shambles.
Like my dissertation.
Yes, when
I wrote
it is.
My dissertation the night before.
Same.
Right. Yeah. It's fine. There's a typo.
I still got first honors.
I got a first with mine as well.
Yeah. Nice.
But like,
there's well,
a maybe we were right to
we're
do it
professional.
That way. But there's a typo on the first line. The very first line.
Is it your name?
No, thankfully. Daniil. Daniil is a river in Egypt. Oh my God.
Dan the sock.
I don't think a dad would have even made that joke. That was bad.
What, the sock one?
My one.
Because your second name is Lussac, obviously.
Lussac. That's my real second name, honestly. Don't ask my mum. I used to lie as a little, as like a teenager. I'd give myself like crazy middle names. I haven't got a middle name. If anyone asked. Yeah. Like, my brother's dad's surname is Chivers.
Chivers.
So that's cool. I used to use that as my middle name sometimes.
Dan Chivers.
What's your middle name? Mm-hmm. Chivers.
Mine's, just, yeah.
Why is that? For years, I was Xavier at one point.
Ah, nice. But exotic.
My teens were very much about lying to people about everything to avoid getting to know them. But that's
nice.
Probably...
Right, we're getting into some real
that's
shit
a whole
here.
Other
Tell
podcast.
Tell me about your childhood.
Actually, I talked, again, to bring up Pip. I mean, he's going to pop up in this podcast a lot. It's just my creative world. It's 10 years of it, it's him. Mm-hmm. But I talked to him yesterday to say, what if I get stuck? And what if the guest's shit? He was like,
sorry.
Childhood. Just ask about the childhood. I was like, what do you mean? You just say, so what was it like growing up? And it just, most people will just talk shit for 20 minutes about that. To be fair, he actually, I'm making him sound like more curmudgeonly than he actually said it. That was more of a positive. Yeah. No, it's just, you know, it's like everyone shared experience, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like making him sound like he's more glib than he actually is.
Shit on.
Childhood. Just brilliant.
Just talk about their childhood. Ugh.
Right, you got anything to plug?
Dicey Dungeons
which coming
is
soon.
Super fun. Yeah. I mean, I love Terry Kavanagh games. I loved V.
I hear he likes chipsel music.
Yeah, he does. He really likes chiptune. Yeah. I was like, how about this? Like something kind of different. And he's like,
No.
I don't like it.
It's
like,
not you.
And then I would send him something else, and then I would send him chiptune, and he'd be like, yes!
This one.
I like this one. And I was like, God damn it, Terry. I need to show my audience I have grown. He's like, no.
Don't grow. They don't want to know.
But it kind of works in a way. I mean, it's just going to have like chiptune bangers. We already have an article where someone is just like, the music doesn't fit the game. And I was like, well, we didn't like you anyway. You're not getting a free key.
Oh, God.
Who doesn't love a chiptune banger?
Like press. It's like, you're just one dude. Shut up.
Yeah. Who are you? You look... 4 years old.
We chose to create this and we chose to put it in the world. Don't like the music.
Yeah.
Mute it then, dickhead.
Yeah. Dicey Dungeons. I wish I could plug the other thing, but just know that it's very exciting.
It's
a
thing.
Very exciting announcement coming in the next few months. I would like to believe that I will get something of my own out this year.
Nice.
But I feel like I promise that every year, and then someone emails me with like, "Hey, do you want to do thing?" And I'm like, "Yes, I would love to do
so
thing."
So I kind of forced myself to do it last year. Mm. I had this gap. I was a bit moody, and I had like 2 month gap between things. And my partner just said, "Just make an album," and I had 63 days.
Nice.
And I wrote, recorded. So it was 11 tracks. The one track on the album was actually 10 years old, but everything else was written and recorded.
Yeah, but you did it.
Yeah. Mastered, mixed, out.
Yeah.
Shoddy artwork. But, but yeah, no, sometimes you have to force yourself.
You do.
Definitely as you find different things, you know, different sounds.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do need to tell your audience to fuck off. Like, this was for me. Like, if you want to buy it, that's fine. If you like it, but don't be offended that I didn't make that sound.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, so one thing that I think I'll probably do just for the sake of my own sanity is just start releasing singles.
Mm-hmm.
Because that seems to be the way now.
Modern world, isn't
yes.
it? Modern world. It's like you've got to constantly be putting content out in the world and
content.
Stuff. And it's frustrating.
What's your Twitter content? What's your Instagram content? What's your creational content? You have to stretch yourself in so many different places now. It's like the perks of not being under a label or whatever are great and wonderful. That's what I mean. Like, wouldn't change it.
There's no
but
machine
at the same time,
that you have to feed before you can put something.
I would like to see something similar to a label, but not so corporate. Like someone that will just be like, kind of check in and just go, do you need anything? Do you need me to reach out to people? Whatever. Like a very indie sort of like label just, relationship.
Just having someone to go swing your dick around for you.
Like, exactly.
Look at this. That having a body other than yourself telling the world how good you are.
Yes.
Is amazing.
That would be very handy. The way it just ended up is that my Twitter is just me like shit posting and posting pictures of my cat just for the sake of original content.
It's content, like, isn't
it? I mean, I wouldn't change it again. I'm hilarious.
I've got a cat, so I go with shop windows.
Nice.
Oh, look at this thing I saw in a shop window.
Look at this person, lol.
I've got a phone full of just shop windows for those days when I haven't got a bit of content.
Nice.
Or my partner's cat. Her cat's amazing. He's very fat.
There you go. He's content.
He's good for 80
You don't need to write albums.
No.
Just post the pictures of the cat.
She's got to monetize the cat.
Yeah. All you need to do is, like, basically, you know, like, Twitter is just a way to be like, I am still alive.
I exist.
Yeah. I didn't die. I will make music soon. I am making music. That's like, any time that I put something out, it tends to be on YouTube because I'm not really active on YouTube because YouTube is
trash. Yes. Let's just accept it. YouTube is trash.
There's a lot of sweet comments and stuff under there, obviously, too. And I'm like, oh, that's nice, thank you. But like, I don't interact because as soon as you interact, that's when things.
I've got a super secret ambient project that only exists on YouTube.
Ooh.
And
you Banksy.
I'm Banksy.
The Banksy of music.
Of ambient. And there's now, it's probably about 16 hours worth of music on there of just ambient stuff I've written over time, and it annoys me. It's got like 22 subscribers, yet it gets more comments than me, the actual me. And it's like, guys, I've been working years on this Dan Lassac thing, and now you randoms are paying more attention to Name Redacted. It's like, but YouTube's a weird place.
It is. I put like, so just on the content thing, I posted the Interstellaria soundtrack.
She paused then because two dogs walked past.
I did, yeah, sorry. They were really cute.
They were cute.
I posted about the Interstellaria soundtrack and I was like, this is 2 years of my life I've suffered for this soundtrack. Please listen to it. And then like I posted a picture of my cat upside down like 2 days later and it got
more likes.
Like double likes. I was like,
the world. But it's the big key to remember with social networking and all that, it's not your audience's fault.
Not at all.
You know, it's just one of those things, there's that algorithm at play just that nature of things, like, it wants to show you what you like, and everyone likes cats. It's definitely something I've had to come to terms with in a post Scroobius Pip Dan Lassac life, because you know, there was a time when if we put something on YouTube, it was guaranteed tens or hundreds of thousands of views, and now it's like, yeah, if I get 500, I'm a big boy now. You know, and it's definitely like, it's just the nature of things. It's not your fault as a creator.
Thank you.
I know, Goodwill Hunting. It's horrible.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. You know what I mean? It's like understanding that the world is moving at a pace. And.
But that's what I was going to say about YouTube, is that anytime I upload anything, like a new body of work or whatever, people are just like, yay, Chipsel's not dead, yay, Chipsel's still making music and all this stuff. And like, I get comments.
Next album title, Chipsel's not dead.
That would be so popular.
Like, De La Soul is dead.
Yeah. And like, even under Instagram, like, people just being like, you know, if I post like a modular
noodle.
Session or
a
something.
A modular noodle. Yeah. We didn't even get into modular noodles.
Modular noodles?
That's a genre. I don't know if it exists, but it's definitely...
Spaghetti synths.
So for anyone who doesn't know, modular synths are basically, if you imagine a synthesizer, imagine anything in your house and break that down into the component parts. So your microwave, you could have a dial to put the time in that has a little bell, or you could have a beep, boop, boop to put the time in.
Yeah,
modular synths are like, right, well, I want the dial with a dinger, but then I want the readout to be digital and the spinny thing on the inside to be an octagon.
And I want the buttons to control the spinny thing on the inside and the dial to, like, to control the...
anything you can break down into parts, but synthesis-wise.
That is such a bad explanation of modular synthesis.
I think you did. I think I've got a better one in me, but...
It's like a telephone thingy.
Telephone exchange.
There you go. You're plugging, you're going, okay, here's the sound source, put that through... amplifier, trigger the amplifier by the...
So Dave in Accounts is the amplifier?
Yeah, Dave in Accounts, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like
and
a corporation.
This is Cheryl
corporation.
From HR,
it's
a is a sine wave. And you give putting Cheryl in Dave. That's dirty.
Calm down.
I think that's a good point to end. Dave and Cheryl, they actually had kids.
Good luck to them.
Well, thank you for coming on. And
Thank you for having me.
I don't know how well this recorded or anything, but you know, I think
we got
it. A good hour as well. Boom! That was good. Did you enjoy that? I didn't say this at the start, but as that was the first one, I was so nervous. I was like genuinely uncomfortable right at the start. So I think you can hear it in there. You know, I think you can hear that first 10-15 minutes where I lean hard into the technical, because it's an area I'm really safe knowledge base wise and I can ask questions about. But hopefully you can hear it around the time we make fart noises and stuff that I've started to relax and all that shenanigans. But yeah, chipsall.co.uk is the place to find Chipsall stuff, Dicey Dungeons, Super Hexagon, all that good stuff's on Steam and whatever platform. Just Google it. Why am I telling you? Just Google it. But yeah, next week's guest, these are all going to come out in order of recording from now on, just so I don't have to think about it. But yeah, next time, electronic musician, used to be part of a duo. Don't want to give too much away, but they may or may not have had a swear word in their name. I know. It's pretty fucking edgy. You know what I mean? We're getting dark up in here. Hit me up on Patreon, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, if you want. Any of them. I'm always there. I'm self-employed, so I'm pretty much in front of a computer most of the day. Come say hello. And thank you again, for spreading the word. Like, you don't understand how blown away I am by the reception to episode 1. And I hope you feel the same way about episode 2. Have a good one. Noise.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.